Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. You haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. And right now we're up to episode 26 of season 6, the season finale, Descent, part 1. We're going to do this the old-fashioned way and split this two-part episode into two podcasts, just because at the end of the season I want to give my wrap-up video after this. So anyway, Descent, part 1. It's episode 26 of season 6, directed by Alexander Singer, written or teleplay goes to Ronald D. Moore, story goes to Jerry Taylor, aired back on June 21, 1993. This is the one where the Borg come back. They got a crazy ship, they're individuals, Data feels some emotions, and then Lore appears right at the very end. Anyway, Modi's here to talk about this one with me. So right after this, me and Modi are going to go deep on the season 6 finale of Star Trek The Next Generation. We're almost done, heading into the last wrap here. Descent, part 1.
You enjoyed it. That surge of emotion inside you. As you watched the life drain from your victim, it was unlike anything you've ever felt before. It was a very potent experience. You'd like to feel that way again. Yes. You'd do anything to feel that way again. Even if it meant killing someone.
No. That would not be ethical.
You don't sound very sure of yourself. Is your ethical program functioning? Data? Do you have a friend?
Yes. His name is Geordi.
If it meant that you could feel emotions again, the way you did on Oneonta 3? Would you kill your friend? Would you kill Geordi?
Yes. I would.
We did it, sir. We made it to the end of season 6.
All right.
It went by so quickly. I'm starting to get a little misty-eyed here. Not misty-eyed, but I'm starting to realize that the end is nigh, basically. And I think that we've ended season 6 with season 6 is in a strong contender for potentially the best season of the show. Which is fascinating to me. It's one of the big surprises of doing this rewatch that I've had. I'm going to come up with a list, I think, of the 5 or 10 biggest surprises I've had while rewatching this show. That might be one of them, that season 6 is so strong at this point. And it's really just because of the solid work in the second half of the show, or the second half of the season, excuse me. And we're going to talk about Descent Part 1. We're going to break this up into two episodes the old-fashioned way for two podcasts, because I want to do my season 6 wrap-up video and not get confused about the ending of Descent Part 2. We're going to talk Descent Season 6 finale. Data, the Borg are back, basically. Data gets some emotions, and then we see Lore, and Lore is back as well. So I've just gone on this little tirade about how good Season 6 was. What do you think of Descent as the season finale?
It's interesting that it's a Data episode, first of all. That seems like it's rare to happen. That usually Picard seems to get the finales, I feel like.
Yeah, well, the finales that stick in my mind, the first two seasons don't really. So you've got Best of Both Worlds, then you'd have Redemption.
Okay.
Then you'd have Time's Arrow, and now you've got Descent.
Huh. Maybe not then.
Yeah, so for some reason, Redemption sticks in my mind very heavily. And this episode kind of reminds me of Redemption in a lot of ways. It's a Data story instead of a Worf story. But it also ends with a character reveal that you might not be expecting. I feel that Descent is not a great episode. I mean that in the sense that I think Descent is a pretty average episode of the show. That is going to, and I'm kind of going meta here. This is the start of a terrible Data storyline that I absolutely hate. What did you think of the emotion aspect for Data? I guess we should start there because Data is the main point of this Descent storyline.
I don't know. I watched this one like 1.5 times, and the first time through, I was mostly asleep. The second time through, I was like, it raises some, I guess, some interesting questions about what it means to, you know, how do you explain emotion without naming an emotion and what that means and that kind of thing. But it's not very profound, I guess, as far as an exploration of themes. I don't know. I mean, obviously Data is a great character and Spiner does a good job with most of the things he has to do with this, but it isn't great. And it's mostly boring for the first half, I would say. But it does raise some interesting questions, and Data, it is a good character to see Data go through these things and work through them. I liked the scene where he's talking to the Borg, and the Borg's kind of the devil on his shoulder kind of thing of telling him, oh, your ethics aren't that strong, and that kind of thing. I really liked that scene quite a bit. And that scene might save the episode for me.
It's interesting. Because I thought the best scene in the episode is Data and Troy talking, where Data...
That's a good one, too. Oh, that's a really good scene, too. Yeah, that's another one. There's a lot of good ones in this.
Data reveals, yeah, that he enjoyed killing the Borg, which is deeply unsettling for...
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the problem here, that, you know, the storyline here is that Data is experiencing... he gets attacked by Borg. He experiences emotions when he kills one of the Borg to defend himself. He gets angry at him and says, like, stop, and slams the Borg against the wall and kills him. And then it's revealed that Data also enjoyed killing the Borg. And that's
reenacting it later. That was also pretty interesting.
Yeah. And then he's doing experiments when he's back to normal, trying to get his emotions back. I think the problem here on the Data level is that you had watched Birthright Part One, right? Which implies that Data is basically evolving to the point where he's potentially going to be able to feel emotions. Like, that doesn't seem outside his realm of possibility at this point.
Right.
And this episode doesn't do anything to tie into that development at all, which I think is a mistake. Because somehow the Borg can cause Data to feel emotions. And
yeah, it kind of takes something away from Data's journey in that regard. I guess, I mean, part of Data's journey was externally caused because we got zapped by a laser thing that caused him to start having dreams.
Yep.
But, I mean, had they started with him actually showing that now he's capable of actual dreaming and gotten to more of his character outside of what the Borg can do to him, that might have been, you know, at least a red herring as far as what's going on here.
Yeah, yeah. And he's also... He's also the fact that he, like, the emotion at, like, storyline of Data just annoys me because apparently when he gets emotions, he just turns into like a raving asshole, which is so bizarre that that's the way that they want to go with it. It's horrible in Generations, the movie, but it's a big part of this one too, where I guess it could be implied that the Borg are only feeding him negative emotions.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I find the moment of where he reveals to Troy that he liked it to be a little bit deadened by his, basically he flips to a bad guy by the end of it for what seems like not a good enough development of his character or something. Like,
yeah, the scene with Croesus where he's getting convinced by him that he's enjoying these things and he actually wants to be evil, I guess, at the end of it, it just kind of, I don't know, it doesn't seem like he's very strong of his convictions, I guess, as far as himself goes.
Yes.
And it makes him seem, you know, too, like, weak as far as his own convictions on that, I guess, is the problem.
Yeah, I don't understand the emotions override his sort of basic operation. You know, like he doesn't seem as competent or capable anymore when he does that. And I can understand, like, I think the reveal of, yes, I would kill Geordi to experience emotion again is a really great kind of beat. It's almost like this storyline is too dark for TNG in a weird, like,
maybe.
It feels like this is a point of no return for Data, and I don't think it should be that way. Because what he's doing here is really, really quite dark, all things considered. Yeah. Like, he's basically said that he would kill the rest of the crew given the chance to experience emotions.
Friend.
Yeah, he would kill his best friend. Which is shockingly dark, and I don't think the show is prepared for what this means for the character, and if you start thinking about it as an audience member, what it means for the Data character.
Yeah.
It's just,
I don't know.
It's just odd. It doesn't set me right. So what did you, I guess we'll talk about the return of the Borg. You haven't done a Borg episode yet.
No, I haven't.
At this point. So
yeah, I was going to go back and watch iBorg in preparation for this, but I just kind of ran out of time, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, that's totally understandable. I remember iBorg well enough where I can build off of it at this point. But yeah, this is basically directly linking to iBorg, where they saved the Borg and then they sent him back to the collective because he had shown a sense of being an individual as opposed to the collective hive mind. And this is apparently the fallout of it. Give me your thoughts first on the Borg as a villain, I guess, so we can get a sense of where you feel they fit into everything.
I think they might be more interesting here than they are previously, where they want to assimilate everything.
Sure.
When they kind of have this you don't know what to expect kind of thing, or they actually show signs of evolving, that seems a little bit more interesting to me. Because you figure if they keep assimilating things, you'd figure they'd assimilate a conscience at some point, and then they'd have their own problems. Whereas here, it seems like they've done that, and now they've gone off the reservation as far as what that conscience means, and that's kind of what the conversation with Data is all about a little bit.
Yep.
And he says he was programmed with a conscience somehow. So yeah, I purposely didn't watch the second part of this in preparation. I was going to say, you know, I should go into this like thinking, like, if I was watching this at the time and this was the season finale, would I be satisfied with it and that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And what kind of questions I would have, because I really don't remember the second half of this too well.
Yep.
So I forget the resolutions and stuff like that. And so that's I'm trying to approach it as with fresh eyes with it, basically. And I don't know if it is a very satisfying season finale.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Yeah.
I do want to find out what happens, but it doesn't seem like it would be. And I guess this show kind of does struggle with season finales in that regard, too.
It does. It has a hard time with them for some reason.
It doesn't feel like enough is here to latch onto to want to come back. I mean, I'm going to come back anyways, but
yep.
It doesn't seem like there's enough here to make me be like, oh, my God, and really, really latch onto it.
It's almost like what happens to Data at the end is almost too unbelievable. You know, like you need your season finale to end with a little bit of, oh, like, how are they going to get out of this one? Like, Best of Both Worlds is a prime example of that. Like, you leave them with like, oh boy, like, I know they're going to fix it, but how do you fix it?
Yeah.
And the solution to Descent seems obvious from the start. Like, I don't remember it particularly well, but I can imagine how they're going to get out of this. And that doesn't feel as satisfying to me as for a season finale as it could be. For as far as the Borg go, I'm kind of the counter opinion. I prefer their original sort of interpretation better. iBorg was okay in what they tried to do with it because it's only one Borg. This is getting a little bit weirder to me at this point. This is sort of defanging them to a weird degree. And one thing I always think that's odd about this episode is, does this episode establish that this is not happening to the entire collective and it's only this small group?
I got the impression that it wasn't the entirety of the Borg, the way that they're kind of operating. I don't know if that's because I've seen the later episode or know how it resolves or something like that, but I did kind of get the sense that it was only... They never really... made it apparent that they think that its entire Borg is gone to be like this.
Right.
I took it as a particular sect that, you know,
broke away because of
you somehow, and they had a difference of opinion or something like that with the collective, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they didn't really see themselves as part of the collective, and the fact that they still refer to a collective, I mean, it still exists.
Oh, that's true. So, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think
that they were no longer part of the collective or something like that at that point, but that assumes that there is a collective still then.
Right, so that they're still out there existing. I think that's kind of my problem with it. I think I remember watching the episode when I was younger and thinking that the entire Borg collective had changed. And I think it's smart not to do that, but it also, I don't think this characterization of the Borg is just so, they took what was like a really interesting, cool, unique concept, and they basically just turned them into any kind of warrior race that you'd see that doesn't care about their own survival.
Yeah, and they do kind of like indicate that now they're only out to destroy lesser races, which is kind of the Romulans thing, I thought. So it didn't really seem that different. That's a good point.
And also, they've achieved a newfound sense of individuality, yet they still all willingly sacrifice themselves all the time. You know, like, you'd think that they'd have a bigger problem with what they're doing, or I think they should be portrayed as more confused. And I do know that this is going to be resolved in part two, but you know, I think that the best part of this episode by far, on like an artistic level, is the design of the new Borg ship, because it makes no sense and it's like it's totally bizarre looking. It's not symmetrical in any way.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it seems very it seems very alien.
Yes.
For sure.
And it's coming from the cube, which is like, you know, perfectly symmetrical and perfectly shaped. It basically is showing that these Borg are so mentally confused at this point that their ship design reflects it, and it's like bizarre looking, and it doesn't, you know, one side is bigger than the other, one nacelle is much longer than the other one is. And I think that's really the most satisfying part of the episode in a weird way, is seeing that new design and seeing the Borg. And I like the Borg are more, although they do the thing too, of they kind of copy Data in that they become individuals and they just get pissed off and they want to kill people, which is bizarre as well.
Well, that's kind of Lore's influence, maybe. Oh, that's the same for both
Data and the Borgs.
Both Data and the Borg.
Yeah.
Influenced the same way by him.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough because I think my problem Lore in this episode.
Maybe. Yeah.
When
Croesus is talking to Data, it might as well be Lore. It's the same exact stuff that Lore would say to him.
Yes.
And try to use logic to confuse him.
Yes. Yeah, right. Lore is always very good at confusing Data, and Data never seems to understand that. Yeah, I think that's true. It's just I'm seeing the slide of where they're going to take this thing, this Data emotion, and run with it. And I don't know if I want it to be there. Did you think that the pacing of this episode was interesting?
It did feel like they know that they have a two-parter here. So
yes.
There is some room to take some time. Yeah. It's same kind of padding as the last one, actually.
Yep.
Of, I don't know, how many times do you need to show Data killing the guy over and over again to get the point across?
Yeah, they do that a lot. There's a lot of just analysis of the planet. Why the... I mean, this one also feels very much like a two-parter in that the way that they sort of start this story of people being on the planet feels like they're like, all right, for part two, let's have people in totally different situations. Like, giving Crusher command of the ship makes no sense whatsoever in context of what they're doing. Sending Picard down to the... Sending basically everyone down to the planet to look for Data doesn't make any sense.
No, they can scan for that. They could find him.
That's
what they would normally do.
Do the Star Wars thing. Send a droid down or something. Like, there must be a way to do this. It all felt to me very much like, all right, we're in part two, we're going to have Crusher in charge, and Picard is going to be captured, and that must happen.
Or, yeah, just have a better reason for Picard to go down there.
Right.
Like, I don't know what you do different with this. I was thinking briefly, like, maybe instead of having this Croesus guy, you actually have captured Lore, and it's revealed earlier that he's part of this.
Yeah.
And then you have the reveal down below. You do the exact same thing. You do the opposite, where Picard shows up and thinks he's talking to Lore instead, but it actually is Data now. And maybe that's the big reveal at the end.
Yeah, I guess
he comes in like he's addressing Lore, like he comes in before and he thinks he's addressing Data, but it turns out being Lore. You have Lore captured instead of Krosis, and then later on you see Picard addressing Lore, but it turns out that it's actually Data that at that point it fully changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that would end up different. I don't know. That might work better, but I don't know.
They don't play up the Data and Lore being confused for each other much as you think they would. I guess they, you know, they want the cold open. Also, interestingly, this is the first episode I've ever noticed the title and credits came before the title.
I was concerned that they weren't going to get the opening credits for some reason, because I saw there was all this stuff. I guess, are they just skipping it? Is this going to be that jam-packed an episode that they just have to skip the opening
the song? And that's unacceptable, because I watch that opening song every single goddamn time.
Well, okay, now that we're at season 6 and we're talking about the opening theme, and I didn't want to point this out to you sooner, have you ever noticed the Rings of Saturn, how the way it's edited, the stars move at the wrong rate?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. It's because it's actually a wipe or something, right?
Is that what's? It's like the Saturn rings pass through, and the stars inside the ring move at a different rate as behind it.
Yes, that's right.
I didn't want to say anything to you because I know you're never going to unsee it once somebody mentions it to you. So I wanted to wait until we're late in the game here. But now that we're at season 7, I think you can finally know that every single time I watch this, that's the only thing I see.
Yeah, I think it's
that the stars move differently.
I think it's because if you pay really close attention, the shot of Saturn is actually like a wipe of a different shot, and it's not like it's the camera moving.
Yeah,
to another thing.
But they try to fake it, so it looks like you're sliding past.
Yes,
it, but then
exactly.
Ultimately it looks like, I don't know, it's just cut weird.
So
the stars just move differently.
I actually have a bigger problem where I feel that because they pan so close to Saturn and then off, that the Enterprise is inaccurately sized. Like, you know, like
it's seems bigger than Saturn.
It seems ridiculously large for how they set up that shot. And that's all you'll pay attention to, and I'll pay attention
to
the
stars. That composition does not work. You're right.
I was wondering if, now that you've got me thinking about it, I know they want to reveal the Borg as like the cold open your thing. That's how you keep your audience, right? In this day and age, you need to show the Borg.
Right.
I wonder if it might have been a better story if they reveal Lore at the start, and the end is Lore revealing that he has an army of Borg.
Oh, that would have been good, too. That's a good point. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of how that works. Again, you have to capture Lore instead of Krosis, and he has to escape by convincing Data somehow.
Yep.
And then...
Which I think, as you...
planet, it's not only that Data has been converted by Lore, it's also that he's got Borg. How do you get Data to get... I guess he gets angry at Lore, is what happens?
Well, I think it would work
then. Then it becomes a thing more about their relationship than it does about Data himself, though.
Yes. I think you could do the same thing of what Krosis does, is that Lore gives him a taste of these emotions.
Emotions, right.
Yeah,
hasn't he done this before? I feel like maybe I'm remembering the second half of this or something like that, but I feel like this has happened before.
Well,
where he's given Data emotions.
In Brothers, he steals the emotion chip, pretending to be Data. Yeah.
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 So that's how Lore got Lori, but yeah, it just kind of feels like it's the same kind of plot hashed again. Maybe.
Showing
the difference between the two of them, with one with emotions, one without.
Right. That's because that's the only basis of their difference,
I guess,
basically.
That's the only thing they're different. Yeah, that's true.
So every episode featuring Lore has to involve his emotions, basically. And did you watch any of the Lore episodes before this one?
I really wanted to go back and watch them again, but again, yeah, I didn't have enough time to.
Yeah.
I was thinking I have to go back and watch some Lore episodes.
I think that the sort of overall disappointment might just be the fact of what they've done to the Borg here, what they're going to do to Data's character, and the fact that it's Lore back. And I just don't need more Lore at this point. Like, he is an interesting idea that they've just never been able to do anything with, because he's just too evil. Basically, like, he's too... There's no nuance to him.
Yeah, that's true.
He's just a mustache-twirling villains.
Data with a goatee. He
should just have a mustache and just be like, this is lore. He's going to twirl this and stand here and choose some scenery. Yeah, I don't think that he's nearly an interesting enough character to have this, especially in this first part, even though we only see him at the end, as to how much he needs to be involved in the story.
They should have brought him in sooner, I think, with this episode, and then done something different with the ending, maybe.
Yep.
To heighten it. But yeah, again, adding the Borg in at the very end might be interesting, or again doing a twist with Data and Lore becoming the same person. I don't know. Just something more than that. But again, if you introduce Lore sooner, maybe you build that character up differently, or maybe you help along a little bit. Maybe there's nothing there, though, is the problem. So maybe you can't do
that. Yeah, I think that's the problem. Is, if Lore plays it nicely at the start, it's a trick.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's a storyline where you could ever bring back Lore and have him be, like, remorseful about what he's done, because no one would ever believe it. You spend the entire episode going, he's just going to betray him. And even if he doesn't, it doesn't feel like it amounts to anything at that point. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this episode. The Borg thing.
The problem is we're disliking these episodes, but they're still pretty good, is also the thing too about this.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a terribly bad episode either, though.
No, I don't think this is terribly bad.
It has a lot of nice things. It has a lot of interesting things happening in it. It's just, we're expecting more from it at this point. That's a continual, as the show goes on, we're expecting more and more from it, and they deliver a pretty decent episode, but it's not enough for us.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. It's just the fact that, in Timescape, which was the one that we watched last time, Timescape kept me involved as it was going on. Descent didn't really do that. There was a lot of times during Descent where I was like, I pick up my phone and look at it and be like, oh, okay, there we go. And then you go back to Descent. And it's mostly because it's during scenes where it's like Picard, Troy, and Geordi are walking around on the planet, and it's like, who cares? Like, this is not relevant. Just find the building, go into the building, find the Borg Nazi flags, and then, sort of move on with your lives. The only thing that really grabbed me was the ship design of the Borg ship and the... I guess the transwarp drive is kind of interesting.
The subspace distortion, yes.
Yeah.
That was kind of interesting, too. They never really, got into explaining that at all.
No.
And I did kind of like it, though. But it also bothered me that they're like, we're 65 light years away. And I'm like, is that a lot?
Yes.
Is that a little? I had to, Google that afterwards. Like, how long does it take to get back from 65 light years away? And they're like, it's about 16 days at warp 9. I'm like, okay, I guess so. I guess it's a lot of days, because you're not going to travel warp 9 the entire time. But so you moved like a month away. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, I only know because warp 1 is the speed of light. So if you went warp 1, it would take you 65 years to go that far.
Got it.
That's
exponential from there. Okay. That's how they came up with 16 days.
Yep. Yep. That's
got it.
That's exactly right. That's how you come up with that math. Yeah. What'd you think of the cold open? You didn't like the Timescape cold open. What'd you think of this cold open?
Oh boy, this was a rough one too. This
really?
Was a really rough one. Yeah, I didn't
love
this cold open at all.
Okay,
really?
Yeah,
I don't know. I didn't like this cold open.
What'd you think went wrong with it?
I just don't.
You didn't?
I guess
the actor
again.
Pushed.
Again, it's Data not understanding how humans work again, and they keep coming back to something that's we established in season one is dumb.
Yep.
But they still I guess I don't know. He's just playing with the holodeck and gets his. Some of his interesting people around him, but it's like I feel like Data would do first of all more with it, and I mean he should have these questions pretty much answered for himself, I think, at this point. Is he just playing with it, but he seems like he's generally trying to learn something, but it doesn't seem like it would be productive at all. I kind of like Isaac Newton being kind of a dick about stuff, but
well, apparently that's
kind of like that.
That's true to life, I guess. Isaac Newton was such a
I kind of liked him. Didn't have time for anybody but himself. Kind of attitude.
Yep.
Didn't want to be there.
I mean, it's nice to have.
I kind of like the idea of a holodeck program not wanting to be there.
Yes. they're self aware. It's like Moriarty. I like. I mean, Stephen Hawking is in it. Obviously, that's the major.
Yeah, and that
sort
was kind
of
cool. Yeah.
I kind of agree with you that. Data doesn't have the kind of conversation with them I would have expected.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
He says, "Let's all play cards," and it doesn't seem like they talk about anything except cards. So it's like, what's the point of this?
Right.
They all just want to get around and like knock each other down a peg.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what you learned about humans, I guess.
If they had gone into some sort of in-depth conversation, you know, that was like pushing, that was like testing Data, or the Data was,
yeah,
you know, it shows something that this is Data's sort of like relaxation time or something, as he like challenges himself against the greatest minds in human history. And mm-hmm. it doesn't really work out that way. He just wants to play cards. And they're apparently terrible at playing cards, which is nice to know. And they don't talk any science. Besides,
right. or really humanity either. They're not.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
think if you're going to get three people together and you want to talk about humanity and how people interact with each other to learn something, you want to get three scientists together.
Right.
I don't think they're the kind of people that are going to be forthcoming with their emotions and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'd agree with that. I find it it's a memorable cold open, but I don't think it really amounts to much as all is said and done. I mean, it hints that Data is going to be exploring his humanity, but it doesn't really do a good job of showing how that's going to work out for him. I don't know. I don't think I have much else to say about Descent Part 1, but I'm going to play an audio clip. We're going to come back. We're going to play or give our final thoughts and feelings for Descent Part 1.
This seems to be some kind of meeting place.
Well, it certainly hasn't been abandoned.
Something's wrong. I can't get any kind of energy signatures from these light sources.
It's a dampening field. This entire structure could be shielded from our sensors. Let's go.
There they are!
Data.
That's not Data.
What?
You should listen to her, Captain. She's way ahead of you.
No.
Right. And I'm not alone. The sons of Sung have joined together. And together, we will destroy the Federation.
We're back. Descent. We're done. Season 6. It's over. It is what it is. We made it to the end. And this is Descent Part 1. I guess you went first last time, so I'll go first with my thoughts about Descent. I think this is a pretty average episode of the show. It falls into the redemption trap of season, or Time's Arrow maybe might be a better example, of just not being a very satisfying season ender. I think it's a 3 out of 5. I think it's a pretty average episode. I don't really like where they're taking it. I don't like this. What they've done to the Borg is kind of annoying to me, just mostly because it's not going to jive with the rest of what we see the Borg or how we understand them. It takes what makes them interesting and it just kind of removes it and makes them into a bland fighting culture. And I think that my dislike of this episode is going to have more resonance once we get to Generations. So if you think I haven't done a good job of explaining why I don't particularly enjoy this episode, wait till I get to Generations and I think things will be illuminated. But until that point, I love the design of the Borg ship. I love the you know, I like the Data being a cold-blooded, not even cold-blooded, just like a murderer who enjoys murdering people is like a very interesting thing that I don't know if the show can support. What'd you think about this one?
I think I'll be giving it a 3.5, maybe. A lot of the stuff you mentioned, it kind of does take away from the Borg. It takes away from Data a little bit here in some ways. But I think that there's a lot of good scenes in it with Data talking to his various friends and that kind of thing. And I think those scenes are worthwhile in it, and it is worth watching for those. But, yeah, overall, it's not a super strong episode. I think there's better out there. And again, it struggles being a two-parter. It's that the first half is going to have unanswered questions and not going to have a satisfying resolution to it. So it's just a nature of the beast as far as a two-parter goes anyways.
It is, yeah. The first episode always seems to suffer a little bit from... Mm-hmm. You have to create the big idea, and then you have to kind of tread water for a while until you get to the cliffhanger that you can cut it off right at. Yeah, it feels a little bit dull. Yeah, that's it. Guys, season 6 in the bag ends with Descent, which isn't a terrible episode, but it isn't a great episode. If you guys enjoyed the content today, you're on YouTube, like it, comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating or review helps get the show out there. Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. A couple bucks a month, you get exclusive content. Event Horizon was the last one we just did. Otherwise, Facebook, all that jazz, The Penske Podcast on Facebook. Check it out. Guys, thank you very much for listening. We're almost done. We're moving into season 7. I'm very excited. The final season of TNG. It's going to be bittersweet. It's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting. There's a lot of... season 7 is its own beast, I think. We opened this one up by saying that we were surprised by how good season 6 was. Season 7 is interesting, to say the least. So, Modi, thank you very much for coming on.
No problem.
Thank you for your
season 7.
Thank you for your continued efforts on this podcast. And I will also see you in season 7 because you were going to wrap up Descent Part 2 with us.
Oh, I get to? Yay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, awesome.
Otherwise, it's another person who goes, I didn't see part one.
Yeah. This is news to me, guys. Breaking news.
I didn't see part one, but I assume that what happened makes a lot of sense with the way this played out.
There you go.
So, yeah, we'll be back in... I'll be back in a week, I guess, because I'm going to put up my wrap-up video, and then we'll come back after that. So, guys, thank you very much. Your support is greatly appreciated, and I will see you next time.